Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Welcome to the program, everyone. Every week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, I get together with my friend Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
We pursue quixotic flights of fancy.
And that's giving us a lot of credit.
Comic circumlocutions.
That's a nice way to say it. It's a really classy way.
We're like a couple of Shakespearean mechanicals, Jordan.
Yeah, I think so too. Is that where someone plays the wall?
Malapropisms.
Sure.
I think they play the chink.
In the
wall.
You mean, right, the crack in the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, not the ethnic slur.
No.
Apologies to anyone who instinctively recoiled when I said an ethnic slur that also has another meaning, which is used in Midsummer Night's Dream. Jordan, can I ask you a serious question?
I would love that.
Well, I have two things that
okay.
I want to say.
Sure.
Three things. I'm going to say three
okay.
things. So the third of them will be the serious question.
Okay. What are the two others going to be?
You'll find out, won't you?
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm prepped for one serious thing, so I'm bracing myself. But is there anything I can, you know, just something
one
I can start?
One inspirational thing.
Okay.
One congratulatory thing.
Great.
And one serious thing.
Okay.
Except I forgot what the serious thing is. Okay. Here's the first thing is.
Inspirational.
Inspirational. Hey, Jordan, it's 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Get him, get him, get him.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot. Yes, that's right. We need to get him, get him, get him.
Get him, get him, get him, Jordan.
It's our slogan for the year, as we figured out last week.
Shirts on sale now, maxfunstore.com. Brian made a design literally while we were sitting there recording the show. It looks dope.
Should you purchase them, purchase them, purchase them?
Yeah, you should cop them. You should get them, get them, get them, Jordan.
Right.
Maxfunstore.com. Yeah, you won't, and these are limited time only, so mm-hmm. get on that. That's number one. Number two, I was lucky enough to go to Hollywood Center Studios here in Los Angeles.
Sure, the home of Lucy herself.
And see my friends, Jordan Morris, Brian Safi, and Aaron Gibson. Mm-hmm. Brian and Aaron, of course, being the co-hosts of the hilarious podcast Throwing Shade, cripplingly hilarious
sure.
podcast Throwing Shade, compete on television's hit program At Midnight mm-hmm. with host Chris Hardwick.
That's the one.
Congratulations on your spectacular performance on the show.
Thank you.
I was in the audience busting a gut.
Sure.
Then, later, I watched again on television and busted a gut again.
Two guts.
You can watch the extended, uncensored version of that program on ComedyCentral.com. Mm-hmm. I'm letting you know that, Jordan.
Thank you, yeah.
If you want to see.
I'd love to bust a gut at myself.
It was a great time. I saw your sister, your mother. I met Brad.
Oh, you met home. You met my stepdad, Brad.
Yeah, I met your stepdad, Brad.
What did
that
you,
was
I,
nice.
Yeah, I think my mom and Brad took off after the show.
Oh, yeah. they were embarrassed.
Sure, yes, because of the humiliation. I'm assuming it was the long drive to Orange County, but it could be
yeah.
It could be the disappointment that I am.
Sure.
Did you get a vibe from Brad? Was he having fun?
Brad was happy to be there. I was
okay.
not prepared for the fact that you had not. I knew a lot about Brad.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, so much I knew so much about Brad that I felt like sometimes when someone introduces themselves to you or me,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to the show and they say, "I feel like I know so much about you," even
sure.
though we've never met. I feel like because of my favorite podcast, Jordan, Jesse, Go,
sure.
I know so much about Brad and his trombone playing.
Right.
And yet I had never met him.
Something funny about Brad. This might be a little too regional for everyone to appreciate, but
uh-huh.
I'll tell it and maybe I can give it some context.
Right.
So Brad.
Jordan, can I ask you a question about this?
Please.
This does involve the store that only sells glow-in-the-dark stuff.
At the Irvine Spectrum.
Right?
No, apparently, no, this is not a part of the story at all. It does
okay.
involve the sword store at the
okay,
Irvine Spectrum.
Good. Thank God.
The store where you go to buy swords.
Yeah.
Replica weapons from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, what have you.
Yeah, you want to have a couple of those around the house for when you're doing bath salts.
Sure, yeah. In case anybody tries to fuck with your shit.
Yeah.
So Brad is in he lives in Orange County and he's part of the like big band scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has a day job in computers, but, you know, when the sun goes down, you know, the suspenders come on, the spit valve gets emptied.
Uh-huh.
I went home for Christmas. I went to visit them in Huntington Beach, and we were watching on the, like, on one of those weird HD channels that people have.
Yeah.
You know, those that, you know, it's called, like, the...
Sure, they're all owned by Mark Cuban.
Yeah, it's called, like, the Elysium Network. It's, like, something, like, some weird... The Avalon Network, like, some strange thing. We were watching
Camry Network.
We were watching an HD performance of Brian Setzer's yearly Christmas show that he does.
That sounds like a fun Christmas show.
It's a lot of fun, and you know, Brian Setzer has his, you know, signature rockabilly guitar, and he's backed by a big band. And every time they would cut to a member of the big band, Brad would tell me who that guy was and what he thought of him. Knew every guy in Brian Setzer's band. I was really impressed.
Do you think at this point, like, the more extended parts of a big band, like your not just your first chair horn players, but your second and third chair horn players, and your flautists and your, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Like, not the ones who show up when they pay for 8 people to be there, but the ones who show up when they pay for 14 or 18 people to be there. Do you think those people are just pooled among the still working swing revival acts?
Yeah.
Like, do you think the Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
Right.
And, you know,
Big Bad Voodoo Dad. Any band that had Daddy in their name.
Yeah. You think that they share those 6 people? They each has their own core of 5.
Right.
Then they each share 6 people for when they get really good gigs.
Yeah. I bet there's a pool. I mean, I think you would have to be really, really into the Cherry Poppin' Daddies to go, like, oh, that's not their original touring trombonist. So, but you know, you go, you want to see the, you know, you want to see the vocalist.
He puts a nice spin on the solos, though.
Sure, yeah, adds a little,
you know, wa-da-da-da, wa-da-da-da.
Sure, I mean, but he had some, like, some really interesting time signatures.
Yeah,
it's about the notes he's not playing.
Yeah.
During Zoot Suit Riot.
Yeah. I am so... Can I tell you that I've been carrying since, you know, the song Zoot Suit Riot, which was a hit for the Cherry Poppin' Daddies 20-some years ago or whatever. I have no problem with big band jazz music, nor do I have any problem with jump blues music, which is generally the kind of music that it's a little, maybe a little closer to. You know, it's less Benny Goodman, a little more Louis Jordan, you know. But I like that. I enjoy that music. And generally, the swing revival I saw as a positive thing. I mean, like, sure, was it silly? Yeah. But, like, I like the outfits.
Sure.
I like a lot of things about it. But the fact that hit song was called Zoot Suit Riot.
Right.
Is so amazing to me.
You know, I think that is this doesn't change the audacity of it, but I think that it is a cover of a song from that era.
Is it really?
I think it is. I mean, this is something Brian could figure out.
Okay, so I'm going to drop some context.
Sure.
I think, like, the Zoot Suit Riots were basically, there was this thing that Chicano teenagers and 20-somethings in Southern California especially in the early 1940s would wear zoot suits. And because of racism against them and also xenophobia, a combination of racism and xenophobia, there was this thing called the Zoot Suit Riots, which essentially was a bunch of Navy guys and other service members who were on shore leave in Los Angeles basically led a mass lynching of Latino guys. I mean, they didn't mostly get killed. They mostly got beat up, but people did get killed, I think.
Right.
But, like, I'm talking about, like, in one, I can't remember how long it was. It was a few days, I think. Over one few day period, like, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young Chicano kids got the shit kicked out of them by service members, and while the police just, like, watched and nodded.
Right.
And that's a hit novelty song.
Yeah, sure. That was on the radio after Sublime for a while.
I mean, it's like, I'm sure that there's songs that say, like, let's us whites go a-lynchin' that were hits in 1945. You don't see them covering those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess I don't specifically remember every lyric to this song, but I think it was, I don't know if it was pro- I mean, it's probably on the side of the Chicanos, I would guess.
The song?
Yeah.
No, it's about, it's basically just uses the phrase.
Right.
It's like if I, It's like if there was a fashion craze.
I think it was. I think it was about the. I think it was like Strange Fruit. I think it was about the riots. I don't think it was about swing dancing. I think it was the story of that situation.
Really?
Let's look at the lyrics.
Okay. I don't know.
I think it was. I think it was. I don't think it was. You know, Zoot Suit Riot, grab your girl, Lindy Hop.
It was Zoot Suit Riot. Throw back a bottle of beer, wasn't it?
I think so. Let's see. Let's see.
And draw a comb through your coal black hair. Have you ever? You've probably seen. You went to theater school. You probably saw Zoot Suit, right?
Did I? I definitely read it in
Edward
college.
James Olmos. Yeah. Man, the movie of it is. It's like one of those movies that's basically. That's like substantially a direct recording of a play, but it's really great. It's totally great. No, that's what the Zoot Suit Riots are. I didn't.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have it?
Let's see. I have the Wikipedia Zoot Suit Riot song.
Okay. I Googled. Don't worry. I got it. Googled Zoot Suit Riot lyrics.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to this shady lyrics website. Pipes and chains and swinging hands. Who's your daddy? Yes, I am.
Are we able to see? I think there was something like, you know, was about.
It's about the Zoot Suit Riots.
Sure.
It actually is. But I do not sense any explicit anti-Zoot Suit Riots.
Right.
Like, I guess that you could argue a whipped up jitterbug and brown-eyed man, that's the Latino guy. A stray cat fronting up an eight-piece band. Mm-hmm. Cut me, Sammy, and you'll understand. In my veins, hot music ran.
Mm.
You got me in a sway, and I want to swing you, dove. Now you sailors know where your women come for love.
Mm.
Again, like, you could say, like, yeah, they're saying that the...
This is from the perspective of
Mexican,
one of the Latinos.
The Mexican and Mexican-American guys... are stealing their women, and so, like, that's good.
Right.
But then again, that's also a justification for beating up Mexican and Mexican-American
sure.
guys.
Other than just regular old racism.
Okay, now I want to hear your interpretation of this part.
Okay.
You're in a Zoot Suit Riot, you're in a Zoot Suit Riot, you're in a Zoot Suit Riot.
Mm-hmm.
Zoo, zoot, zio, zoo, zoot, za, zoo, ze.
Mm-hmm.
Ble, abayida.
Mm-hmm.
Ze, ze, ze.
Uh-huh.
Zoo, zoot. Z-I-I-O, zoo, zoot, za, zoo, ze.
Yep.
Ze, zoo, mm-hmm. Ze, ze, zoo, day, day, day.
Well, I mean, I think what you are on is the lyrics page for the Esperanto version.
I think I'm on the lyrics page for the... for the fugue state version.
Right. After all the cherry pop and daddies have huffed paint.
When they have one of those verbal migraines where you can't
right.
form words.
So brave of them to keep performing throughout those.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Nothing. I've looked through these lyrics.
Sure.
It definitely is actually about the
right.
Zoot Suit Riots, which I did not know. That's
sure.
new information to me.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is clearly anti-Zoot Suit
right,
Riots.
Sure.
Like, it really just describes the situation.
Mm-hmm. And then
with a lot of
scatting.
Like, suggesting that it's fun.
Sure. It's a riot.
It's a real gas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're all dead now, the cherry pop and daddies, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Long may they reign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've addressed the cherry pop and daddies. Here's my serious question.
Okay, serious question.
You...
Oh, you know what? Can I, just before we move on mm-hmm. from At Midnight,
yeah.
I have a fun story about some of the fallout from that episode.
Okay, why don't we start the next segment with the serious question? We'll close this segment with this fun story.
That's great. If you watch the program, you know that a regular feature of At Midnight is hashtag wars.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Cardwick gives a prompt for a, you know, a pun or a joke premise. And then, you know, the comics give their answers, and then people are urged to play along on Twitter using the hashtag. For instance, if
now,
it was...
You don't even have to have watched the program.
Sure.
If you've used Twitter,
sure,
this is probably the most successful social media campaign in
sure.
television history.
Well, I mean, there's been... show us your Arby's moment.
Yeah, that's true.
When everybody was showing off their Arby's moments.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
This when is my first child was born, I just put that sandwich right down in there.
Yeah, this is know? My, yeah, just put the beef and cheddar by his little head. Let the horsey sauce drip right on his soft spot.
Yep.
So, yes, this is the thing on Twitter that you might be annoyed by around 8:30 at night.
Right.
So the hashtag for that episode was Guy Fieri movies. I think Guy Fieri is our favorite, you know, just go-to thing to make fun of.
Yeah. Well, he's absurd.
Yeah.
And he can take the punches. He's still on top of the pile.
Yeah, I think he has more than one TV show now. Uh-huh. I think he has several TV shows on the Food Network.
He's not sweating it in general?
Yeah, he's just a really fun – and for some reason, you know, it's so tough to know what people will and won't get as a joke reference. For instance, a couple of people have tried to make Making a Murderer jokes on At Midnight met with complete silence. And I think it's one of those things that, like...
Sure, your media elites are
right,
obsessed
exactly.
with Making a Murderer.
Uh-huh. Hamilton. Also, people want to make all these Hamilton jokes on it. It's like none of these people know what Hamilton is.
No.
But for some reason, you can just make a joke about Guy Fieri and people will go nuts. So he's a tried and true joke target.
Yeah.
So we did Guy Fieri movies, adding some Guy Fieri shit into the title of a movie. Guess who loved Guy Fieri movies?
Oh, God. Okay. My first thought is Nigella Lawson.
Yeah. Well, she loves the hashtag wars, Nigella Lawson. Guy Fieri loved it.
Can't you see Nigella Lawson doing a couple bumps?
Yeah.
You know, late at night.
Right.
She gets pumped up and starts writing.
It's logged
puns.
On. Yeah, yeah. We did it in honor of his birthday, and his tweet was, imagine, you know, I was so stoked to wake up to see Guy Fieri movies trending.
Yeah.
And then he did a bunch of them himself, and he retweeted a bunch of people. A lot of celebrity chefs did it. Man, I like this guy more and more every time I interact with something.
He's best friends
does.
With Smash Mouth.
There you go. They wrote a cookbook together, or he wrote the foreword to their cookbook, something like that. Yeah. They collaborated on a cookbook.
I think they had a hard-boiled egg-eating contest. Is that
true? Yeah, there was also a hard-boiled egg-eating contest.
Right. In San Jose.
I went to his restaurant in New York and really liked it. Thought the food was really good. I guess I like this guy now.
You went to the one in Times Square?
I did. The one that got the famously bad
New
York Times
guy was
review.
On Fresh Air the other day. The New York Times restaurant critic.
What did he did another viral slam recently.
Yeah, of Per Se.
Okay.
Yeah, he slammed Per Se, the legendary Thomas Keller restaurant in New York. He gave it 2 stars.
Mm.
Downgraded it from 4 to 2 stars.
Oh, my. There weren't enough dipping sauces?
He was explaining how much he loves Guy Fieri-style food and how much he likes Guy Fieri as a television personality.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just disappointed with the food at that restaurant.
Okay.
Sorry, New York Times restaurant critic. I call bullshit.
Yeah. There seems to be a...
Nope, not buying it.
Yeah. You are probably an unpleasant snob.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the backlash to that of like...
He might be a pleasant snob.
He might be a pleasant snob. But yeah, it seems like those takedowns are, you know, you can kind of see the, I don't know, classism in them, you know?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
But
certainly
yeah.
in their viral explosion.
Yeah, yeah. I think when they are shared with ha ha ha, you can see the, you know, can you believe the pores are into this?
Yeah.
Oh, you pores. But yeah, I went and legitimately liked the food. So you know what? I don't know. I feel differently about Guy Fieri now than I did last week.
I want to know how they feel about Guy Fieri in Santa Rosa.
Now, is that where he's from?
Yeah. My mom teaches at Santa Rosa Junior College.
Uh-huh.
And has for
That's where his like flagship restaurant, Ass Full of Garlic, is, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Is that what it's called?
It has garlic in the name. It might be Ass Load of Garlic.
Ass Load of Garlic?
Johnny Garlics. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds almost the same as Assload of Garlic. Same deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet he's a local hero.
Did he come up with any good lines?
Let's see. Oh, let me see. How about I check Guy Fieri's Twitter.
Yeah.
We come back from the segment.
Yeah.
I'll lay down some hashtag Guy Fieri movies.
Yeah.
And you can tell me the serious thing.
Okay. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Podcasts.
They're audio programs that
tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes.
Or MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
So, Jordan, what is Guy Fieri's contributions to Guy Fieri movies?
There's a lot of them, which is a little tacky.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, I know that you're becoming a guy who likes Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
I heard through the show business rumor mill.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who works in that part of the show business, in the Food Network-y part of the show business industry. They said something really bad about him, which was that he kind of like forced the people who created Diners, Dive-Ins, and Dives out of the show because when he became a star after the first season that he did of the show.
Gotcha. Started swinging that greasy dick of his around.
Exactly. And pushed out the people who had actually created and molded the show and turned him into a star.
Well, showbiz machinations aside.
I don't know if that's true. I just heard about that. Go ahead.
All I know is these hilarious Guy Fieri movies. Well, okay. Couple things.
Yeah.
He did a lot of them, which I think, you know, you and I both follow a lot of comics on Twitter. And when people get too into a hashtag game, you know, at midnight, sanctioned or otherwise, you kind of feel like give it a rest. So here are his. Silence of the Lambshanks, Forrest Gumbo, Natural Born Grillers, Into the Deep Dish, Ferris Bueller's Cook-Off, The Codfather, Wet Hot American Sunchoke.
These are just foods.
Right.
This could just be called food movies.
Exactly. And we've done that, and it was hilarious.
So Guy Fieri lacks the essential self-awareness to recognize that what's important about this joke is that you have to do Guy Fieri-specific things.
Right, something that is,
unable to recognize within himself his own essential Fieriosity.
I think so, yeah. He is just putting food. I mean, I don't know if Guy Fieri makes a good sunchoke or not, but I don't think you associate him with sunchokes.
I'm thinking back, and I think Aaron Gibson's joke was something like, how many shades of gray are there?
50?
50 shades of blonde on my head?
Yeah,
Something like that. That was pretty funny. See, it recognizes that one of the distinctive parts about him is his frosted tips.
You know, the food, he retweeted, Food Network did one. And he said, everybody's getting in on this.
Even the
network that employs me. They did Under the Tuscan Sunglasses, which seems closer than anything he did.
Under the Tuscan Sunglasses, because he's known for his sunglasses.
Sure, yeah.
His dumb sports sunglasses from 1995.
Oakleys that are on the back of his head. So, okay, well, maybe I was too quick to flip completely on Guy Fieri. I do like his good attitude about this, but...
Sometimes I like people less when they have a good attitude about things. I think we give people too much credit for having good attitudes about things.
Oh, yeah?
I'd rather see people stand their ground and fight.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You think he should have gone to the mat?
Yeah, like, I feel like...
You think he should have sued?
So what? Hillary Clinton went on Saturday Night Live and someone did an impression of her to her face.
And then she walked behind them. She snuck up behind them while they were doing the impression.
Yeah, like, so what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's not anything. I don't know. I feel like the ability to laugh at oneself is overrated.
You think people should be more serious about themselves?
Yeah, Yeah, stand behind your shit. You like those sunglasses? Fucking tell us why.
Yeah.
They're dumb sunglasses, Guy Fieri. I don't know. I have no personal animus towards Guy Fieri. He's never, he ain't never did nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I'd like it better if, here's the line I'm going to draw.
Right.
If you're John McCain and you're legit kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
Like, not that John McCain's the funniest guy in the world.
Sure, but for a presidential candidate.
Yeah. I will give you points for being funny. And if you can laugh about yourself, great.
Yeah.
But I don't think you get points just for showing up.
Right, for being around when a funny thing is happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the president. The president can deliver a joke, and I think that's neat.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When President Barack Obama tells a joke and he does a great job of it.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'm glad the president can tell
a joke.
He's
got a little bit of timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but you think being around when jokes are happening is...
Yeah, just showing up when someone's making a joke about you.
Sure.
If any of those had been funny at all
or
recognized how that game's supposed to work.
Right.
And if they hadn't just been written by a social media consultant.
Yeah. You don't think Guy Fieri wrote those by himself?
No, I think that's the work of a hilarious intern.
I think there's a 19-year-old writing Silence of the Lambshanks.
I think Guy Fieri probably runs his own social media, don't you?
Yeah, Guy Fieri and Donald Trump.
I mean, he's got somebody to take extra pictures for Instagram and stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's see. So you have a serious thing.
Yeah. How do you feel about Shakespeare?
How do I feel about Shakespeare?
And by the way, there's this tiny part of me that thinks we may have had this discussion on the show before, but it's important to me. It came up naturally, and none of us... All of us think that it probably isn't something we discussed.
Okay,
before.
Yeah. I have no strong feelings about Shakespeare. I did something fun in college that I really liked called Shakespeare to Go, where we did a little truncated version of Merry Wives of Windsor.
Oh, that's where you found that piece of paper that said ticket for a funny story starting in 5 minutes.
Yeah. I sent that into Found Magazine. It's in one of the Found Magazine anthologies. Feel very good about that. It was on the floor of an elementary school. A child had written ticket to funny story starting in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
One of the highlights of my life.
Jordan, this is – we were in college 12, 13 years ago.
Sure. And we're still talking about this ticket to funny story.
I didn't even find this. I was not even there.
Sure.
I never even saw the actual thing. I just remember you telling me that you had found this, and it's stuck in my head for 13 years.
Sure.
I forget my children's names all the time.
You just call them ticket to funny story.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other one, 5 minutes.
I call them both Davy Rothbart.
Ah, sure.
Yeah.
It
works out because I named them both after Davy Rothbart, the editor of Found Magazine.
So that was kind of fun. We would we'd pile in a kind of a shitty, like, university van. We would drive out to, you know, your Aptoses.
Was this a school program? Were you getting credit for this?
It was, yeah.
Was it a class?
It was a class, yeah. Shakespeare to Go, and then we would do a truncated little Merry Wives of Windsor for, like, kids and some early teens.
What happens in the Merry Wives of Windsor? I haven't seen that.
Some rich women decide to play a joke on their husbands about guys they've fucked, and then there's a fat guy, Falstaff is in this one, and then they put horns on his head and laugh at him. One of those. It's a riot.
If they put horns on his head, does that mean that he's been cuckolded?
He's been cuckolded, yeah. He wears the cuckold's horns.
Oh,
yeah.
That does sound pretty funny.
It's a hoot.
Now that you mentioned
it. I know, right? And I think the secret...
I didn't know Shakespeare was into cuck stuff.
Oh, yeah. Shakespeare loved it. Yeah. Shakespeare loved to watch Mrs. Shakespeare get railed by a couple of groundlings.
I didn't even know Pornhub existed then.
Oh, yeah. It was called Ye Pornhub.
Okay.
And porn had an extra E in it. But it was what we know now as Pornhub. It was, you know, its genesis is in Shakespeare's times.
Right.
And it all took place at the Globe Theater.
Got it. And people would throw fruit.
Yeah.
Got it.
The original title was The Merry Milfs of Windsor. But, you know, the folio got messed up. So I have fond memories of that. It was, you know, it was strange because the way to get kids to like it is to punctuate any kind of like body joke with a lot of like humping, which looking back on it should not have been okay. But I think the you know, administrator's feeling was that they're doing Shakespeare, so it's okay for like these 19-year-olds to be air humping in our, you know, in our multi-purpose room
for
because they're learning.
What age of children are you talking about?
Boy, it really ran the gamut. It was some, you know, younger elementary, maybe like fourth graders, but we also did it at a couple of high schools too.
Wow.
So
that's a broad range of targets to shoot at.
It is, yeah.
I mean, humping's your main thing that you're going to
want
to do.
Yeah, and I think everybody really enjoyed the humping.
You know, a little of the old...
Yeah. Yeah, a little of the old... But that's like the best Shakespeare memory that I have. I remember in high school having to listen to, if I wanted to be around girls, having to listen to the soundtrack to the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet.
Jesus Christ, I saw that in the movie theater.
Which is pretty Cardigans heavy, if I remember it correctly.
Oh, boy. That guy's making a TV show about rap music.
Oh, who better?
I know.
Who better?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that I don't like. So I don't like that Shakespeare thing that I remember. Yeah, it's, you know, not something I like. I don't go to see like a Shakespeare in the Park.
We took that Shakespeare class in college together.
Oh, that was fun.
With Professor Casey Muhammad.
Sure.
He was great.
Yeah.
I didn't like the class, though, because I don't like Shakespeare so much.
Sure. Yeah, so I would say that I have, you know, I'm ambivalent towards Shakespeare. Some fond memories, some negative ones. Not something I seek out in my...
But I mean, you can't say I like Shakespeare because I had fun with a bunch of other 19-year-olds in a van.
Sure.
Like, that's like, I mean, you could have been in a cult with four other 19-year-olds
sure.
traveling from school to school trying to get them
fun.
To pledge their souls to Xenu or whatever.
Sure.
And it would have been a fucking blast, and you wouldn't look back on it and say like, oh, you know, I kind of like that
what?
Cult.
Yeah, pretty good cult.
You were just horny.
Yeah, that's true. And I wanted
and excitable.
I wanted an outlet for my humping.
Yeah,
I wanted an excuse to hump on a weekday.
I don't know. I feel like when I was in middle school,
sure,
we had a school trip to the. I've addressed the fact that I went to an absurdly ritzy middle school before. But one of the absurdly ritzy elements of this middle school, which I attended as a scholarship student, I'll emphasize, was a trip to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, neat.
In Ashland, Oregon. Sure. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival, one of the most, maybe the most renowned Shakespeare festival in the United States. Very high quality productions there. They even have built a reproduction of the Globe Theater in Ashland, Oregon.
Mm.
It was a very beautiful town, by the way. It convinced me, like, you're supposed to go as, like, a 12 and 13-year-old to things like this to give you a taste for the theater, you know,
sure.
to give you a taste for – and I saw August Wilson's Joe Turner's Come and Gone there, and it was, like, mind-blowing to me. I was like, wow, this is the true power of live theater. This is totally amazing. But I saw, like, Antony and Cleopatra. Antony and Cleopatra is so fucking boring.
Sure.
Like – I literally cannot imagine anything more boring than the like 4 hours I spent outdoors as a 13-year-old watching Antony and Cleopatra.
Yeah, and wasn't the thing about all those old histories was that like they had an ancient story and it was supposed to be an allegory for the politics of that time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, whatever Antony and Cleopatra were doing had some sort of resonance
with the Tudors.
Right, yeah. They're like, oh, I see this in our current political system. So, yeah, I know.
The only Shakespeare thing I've ever enjoyed in my entire life is I did kind of like Kenneth Branagh's version of Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay.
I don't know. I just found it to be pleasant.
Yeah.
I bet if I watched that one with that Buffy the Vampire Slayer maid.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, that's got the guy from Firefly in it, right?
Sure, yeah.
That guy's fun in anything.
Yeah.
That guy's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would almost watch Castle.
Sure, well.
I mean, probably not.
I bet if you were in a hotel room.
Yeah, exactly.
And you had to kill a little time.
I'd just be like, what, that guy, he's great.
Hey, let's watch Castle.
What's that guy called?
What's Castle up to? Nathan Fillion.
That guy's a blast.
Sure,
he's charming and handsome and funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as a goofy drama kid in high school—
Right.
We did some Shakespeare stuff. We went to see some Shakespeare things at, like, you know, the South Coast Repertory, and we went to see the 4-hour Kenneth Branagh Hamlet.
Yeah.
And I think we were all pretending to like it. I don't think any of us actually liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you are being a goofy high school student, like, you know, carrying around a tattered, you know, copy of the sonnets, mm-hmm. you know, it was a pretty important part of being a goofy high school student. So I think it's good for that.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Here's the thing. I find the serious ones
mm-hmm.
spectacularly boring.
Sure.
Like once in a while something will break through,
mm-hmm.
but like they might as well just be reading. Like in order for me to enjoy it at all,
right.
the person has to be so good
mm-hmm.
that they might, even though they're reading the greatest writing of all time, and I legitimately believe that it's a,
sure.
you know, they're the fact that it's even that you would don't just shoot yourself immediately
right.
600 years later is evidence that it's the greatest thing mm-hmm. ever. But I think like the serious ones are so boring that in order to get any amount of compellingness into them, the acting has to be so sort of indicative
right.
and amazing
sure.
that they might as well just be reading the copy on the back of a Grape Nuts box.
Mm-hmm.
About how they've added protein to the Grape Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what the words are. They're just doing it. It's like they're like basically at that point miming
right.
to you. But they just happen – if they're so good at miming that it's compelling,
mm-hmm.
then it might work a little. And then the funny ones, fuck the funny ones. Because here's what they do that's funny in them.
Sure.
Okay. Things that were – jokes that were funny 600 years
sure.
ago
– Some racist jokes.
Yeah. Where there's two categories of response. One of the categories of response is you're not laughing because you're not from 600 years ago.
Sure.
The other is you are laughing because you're proving that you looked up what people from 600 years ago
sure.
thought about
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's a presentational
something.
Laugh.
Then the other categories of laughing are humping,
mm-hmm.
farting.
Sure.
Just like the only universal laughing things. They're not especially well executed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think the fact that I was – I think the fact that, you know, both of us were theater dorks in high school.
Sure.
But I think the fact that my theater dorkery was so much more committed,
mm-hmm.
The process of my theater dorkery.
Sure.
Because I was doing theater 3, 4, 5 hours a day mm-hmm. every day. It gave me more room to not have to demonstrate it. Like it was assumed that
sure.
I was a theater dork. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have to do any of the signposts of theater dork.
Sure, you didn't have to go see the Madonna Evita.
Yeah, exactly. Although we did see Phantom of the Opera like 3 times.
Mm.
I also hate Phantom of the Opera.
Sure, yeah.
That is also a pile of garbage.
Yeah. So what's this? So you seem conflicted about this Shakespeare thing. Do you feel like you should be seeing it more and you aren't?
Well, it's the greatest. I mean,
what are you? Why are you yelling?
Because it upsets me. It
sure.
tears me up. So the thing that gets to me about
mm-hmm.
it is that my objective mind
mm-hmm.
can look at this and say, there's literally nothing else that is more than 80 or 90 years
sure.
old that's even watchable.
I don't think any movies from the 80s are funny.
Exactly.
yeah.
Like
I guess the first, yeah.
I watched Crocodile Dundee the
sure.
other day, and I just stared at the screen slightly confused the entire time.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. Humor just dies so quickly after it's made, I think, for the most part.
Like, if you think about how boring it is to watch a Marx Brothers movie
sure.
now,
uh-huh.
you know, and I'm not saying that it's exclusively boring.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of great jokes that you can laugh at.
Totally.
But that's literally the funniest thing ever created, or at least the funniest thing created in the 20th century.
Sure.
So I can look at this thing that's 600 years old
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is, and I can say to myself, this has fascinated everyone for 600 years, everyone in the know for 600
mm-hmm.
years. It must be meritorious.
Sure.
It moves people I know and respect
sure.
to tears
uh-huh.
of laughter or sadness
mm-hmm.
with astonishing regularity.
Sure.
So it must be, you know, like QED. It's the greatest thing ever written in the English language.
Sure.
I'm totally willing to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So resolving that versus I fucking cannot stand it.
Sure.
Outside of that one Kenneth Branagh
Much Ado About Nothing,
which
and
I did
maybe find. The one with Castle would be pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Which is also Much Ado About Nothing.
Is it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, well, I mean, here's what you've got in your corner here. I think when the kids are old enough, when the kids get to be, I don't know, 6 or 7 or something.
Yeah.
You can take them to a Shakespeare in the Park.
Uh-huh.
And
poison it for them for their entire life.
And you can, you know, you are there not to be entertained, but to give your children something. Because mm-hmm. I do agree with you. I wouldn't want to watch it myself, but I do think it's good for kids to be exposed to it. I do think it's good to know about it, and I do like look so at the.
If they're not exposed to it, they're not going to oxidize properly.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. So I think you can, you know, once or twice a year, go there and appreciate it. You're not there to be entertained. You're there to, you know, bestow a value on your kids.
I'm just there to put in my annual hours.
Sure.
As an upper middle class white person.
There you go. You think about it, you analyze it, you have a little cheese and crackers, and then you've dealt with Shakespeare, but it wasn't in place of doing something more entertaining. You know?
Should I be reading classic literature?
Oh boy, yeah, that's one I have a tough time with too. Like when I'm reading, I don't automatically go back and read like the Brothers Karamazov.
Like let's be clear, while among the two of us, mm-hmm. I am the one with the NPR show.
Sure.
You are the one who deeply appreciates literature.
Yeah, I don't
know. I think that's true.
Okay.
You like literature more than most people.
Sure, I do like to read a lot.
You're a legitimate consumer of
sure.
literature
mm-hmm.
for fun. You were a literature major in college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not Joe Literature.
No, hey, I'm not Joe. I'm no Joe. Hey, people will shout Joe Literature at me, and I will turn around, but I'll correct them.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen,
that's how you're seen.
You have the wrong idea about me.
Right.
Yeah.
You understand how you're perceived. You're self-aware. You're no Guy Fieri.
Sure, exactly.
But how do you feel about, because I know you mostly read, you mostly read contemporary literature. When
sure.
I hear you talking about a great book that you read recently,
right.
It's usually a contemporary novel.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like I will go back and read a, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I also don't go back and read classic things. I just don't think I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I don't have a paper or something to write about it.
Yeah. I didn't even read it when I had a paper to write about it.
Sure.
I would, like, read a little bit of it and be like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, pick out some sentences to quote from throughout this text and be done with it.
I do think, I don't know, I do think that, you know, you can do as much thinking about a contemporary book as you can about a classic Russian hobbledehoo.
I think there's limits, like statutory limits, on the amount of thinking you're allowed to do about a contemporary book.
Right, exactly. If you do too much thinking, you have to.
If it's in copyright still.
Sure, that's true.
I think it's the date, the death of the author plus 75 years, and then you have unlimited thinking time.
Yeah. I mean, I do think some people do legit get a lot out of going back and reading, you know. I don't know, was it War and Peace or something like that?
Yeah. My wife read Anna Karenina.
Oh, yeah? I read that in college.
Did you read the whole thing?
I did, yeah.
I tried to read The Brothers Karamazov in
sure.
high school because I was supposed to read it for school.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tear my face off.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like 10 pages
I wanted to
tear my fucking face off.
Oh, yeah, and your teachers will tell you that it's funny.
You're just like, what? This is a fucking nightmare reading this.
Yeah.
One sentence is more than I want to read.
Yeah.
I just looked at this entire sentence, and I had to go back to the beginning of the sentence.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think
I have high levels of reading
sure.
comprehension.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the thing is to, like, you know, if you know you're a smart person and you know you're thinking about the thing you're consuming, whether it's a, you know, whether it's a
American Pickers primarily. In
American
ways.
Pickers or what have you. Yeah, I mean, I think
Seasons
as long as you're a
five of
thoughtful
Simpsons.
Person, you shouldn't have to, you know, stress out that you're not consuming enough of the hoity-toity.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
What if you have your own NPR show?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm disappointing all of America's coastal elitist snobs.
Yeah.
And aspiring and Midwestern aspiring coastal elitist snobs.
Right.
Anytime I don't know something about Dickens.
When does that come up? Have you manufactured a false coastal elite man in your head?
Yeah.
That comes up to you at a function.
He comes up behind me in his Volvo, puts it in neutral, and revs the engine.
Yeah.
And I look over my shoulder.
Does it come up? When was the last time you felt like you weren't well read enough for somebody's liking?
I don't know. You know, anytime I hang out with Hodgman, you know, Hodgman likes real books.
Sure.
That's a problem.
So he always does he try and engage you about...
And he's also super into Dune, so...
Sure, that
that's
too.
Like a comfort to me.
Yeah.
You know, at least I'm not into Dune.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God bless Dune. I'm sure Dune's great if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like the greatest thing of that type of thing there ever was, right?
I guess. I don't know. I watched the David Lynch movie and kind of liked it. It was a real
cool.
real coked out mess. It's great.
Yeah. I think... Here's the thing, like my mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mom is an academic.
Sure.
And when I was in like high school and college, remember when I was in like college,
mm-hmm.
this guy lived at our house named Jean-Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jean-Paul was and is the greatest guy. He was maybe 3 or 4 years older than me. I don't know. He's a little older than me, I mm-hmm. think. But he had been my mom's junior college student. Because he had, like, failed out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
But he went on to get an A in every class he ever took starting in college.
Yeah.
He was, like, valedictorian of UC Berkeley after he transferred from Santa Rosa Junior College.
Right.
And an incandescent genius.
Okay.
You know? He's some kind of college professor now.
Sure.
At some elite university.
Mm-hmm.
They would have these conversations about books that I had not read.
Mm-hmm.
Your M.M. Bakhtins and whatnot.
Right.
Your Walter Benjamins.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think, like, am I supposed to enjoy reading a book like that?
Yeah.
Like, I can barely, like, I only am able to enjoy David Foster Wallace's pieces written for major mainstream magazines.
Sure, his Esquire work.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, sure. Do I enjoy a David Foster Wallace essay written for Esquire? Absolutely.
Right.
But do I get lost and bored in a sentence in one of his more
sure.
quote-unquote serious essays?
Two-page sentence, yeah.
Yeah, then yes. Yes,
two
the
page
truth is yes.
Punctuation-free sentence.
So then I feel guilty about it,
yeah.
And I wonder if... I wonder if my childhood resentment
mm-hmm.
of, like, teachers' expectations
sure.
of me
mm-hmm. Soured you on something that could be bringing you a lot of joy.
That could be bringing immense joy. Like, I'm only living on the surface of life.
Yeah.
I could be digging deep into life's greatest art.
Sure.
But instead, I'm just watching season 5 of The Simpsons again.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the greatest art ever produced... It's up there, right?
Oh, my cans! Oh, my cans!
Yeah.
What that old prospector in a
yeah.
union suit says. And they shoot his, yeah. my precious antique cans.
I hate it when the waffles stick together. That's what good waffles do. A lot yeah. of funny stuff in that episode.
Remember when Garrison Keillor's on the TV?
Stupid TV, be more funny.
Yeah.
That is really good.
But yeah, I do wonder sometimes if my childhood traumas around education.
Sure.
And my consistent disappointment of my teacher's expectations of
mm-hmm.
me. Ruined me on the world's greatest works of art and literature because I get a few pages and I just go, oh, fuck this.
Do you feel like you do, you know, take in stuff that stimulates your brain and imagination and what have you?
No.
On a regular basis?
No.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah?
Do I?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I mean, I mostly just like jokes and rap music.
Sure.
I like other things. Too
sure,
I like art museums. Okay,
there you go.
That's a pretty serious thing that I
That's
like pretty good.
That's a very serious thing.
I do like art museums.
I mean, I guess I worry about your children, Jesse. No, I mean, I think you can get in that stuff under the guise of let's show it to the kids and see what they think.
Yeah.
I think it's important to give the kids options. Like, you know, it's good that
– What's like four things that you think when my children are eight or nine?
Right. Do a Shakespeare in the Park.
Okay.
Go to see a Gustavo Dudamel. Go to like a classical music thing.
Here's another thing.
Sure.
I worked at the symphony and the opera in high school. Mm-hmm. And also because I went to an arts high school, we were always got free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there was unsold tickets, they would just offer it to kids at art. So I probably went to the symphony in high school 20 times.
Uh-huh.
And the opera 10 times.
Yeah.
And then I also worked backstage at both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just resented it. The whole time I just resented it.
We went to see a lot of classical music, too, when I was a kid. And I did not like it. But when I can know a little something about classical music, it feels real good.
The part of me, what I wonder is it stuff that I can like now that I'm old?
Oh, do you think you can re-like it?
Now that I'm an old dad.
Sure.
Is that part of, like, my brain has slowed down enough that I could just listen to classical music, or because I do like jazz music now.
There you go.
That's some pretentious bullshit that I enjoy.
Sure.
Like, I've been listening maybe the last few years to more and more jazz music and actually enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think revisit this shit with the kids.
Okay, so wait. See if it has any Gustavo Dudamel, Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah.
A science thing?
Yeah.
Well, everybody likes the science museum because they got those fun experiments.
Yeah, those are really fun.
I mean, like, so my son the other day, he poured the vinegar into the baking soda at school, blew his fucking mind.
Yeah,
destroyed his mind.
Sure.
The thing about science is it's a bait and switch.
Sure.
You think that experiments are about exploding stuff or like.
No, it's a long math problem.
Or doing a long math problem. Or just sitting there while something happens and checking one box or the other for months on end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my childhood fantasy job was paleontologist, dinosaur bone finder.
Yeah.
And I thought what you did was you put on cool shorts.
Right.
A cool hat.
Like action shorts,
a floppy hat that had claws band.
A sport coat with an action back, maybe?
I can't even picture that.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at right now. I'm literally wrecked over the prospect of having a sport coat with an action back.
And I thought you just went out with like a shovel and you just dug around until you found an entire dinosaur skeleton.
Right.
And it would be right there.
Right.
It would just be right there after you dug for a couple hours.
Yeah, in Africa or wherever.
Yeah, but then like, you know.
I mean, you'd have to spend a few minutes with the toothbrush.
Oh, sure.
Or paintbrush, you know. You're no fool. You'd seen Nova or whatever.
Oh, totally. But then like upon learning how boring paleontology is, it was pretty upsetting.
You were out.
I was out.
Okay, so we got three things so far: Gustavo Dudamel, Shakespeare in the Park, Science Museum,
and then like just like a, you know, just like a classic porno theater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's online these days.
Like the Tiki Room?
Yeah.
I know a classic place called the Tiki Room the other day.
Oh, man.
On like Hollywood Boulevard
or
something.
Boy, I have seen that place. I don't think I will ever get curious enough to go in, but I wonder what's going on in the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
Probably just animatronic birds. Guys are jerking it, too. I think that's where Fred Willard got caught.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of makes you want to go a little bit more, doesn't it? I mean, it's good enough for Fred Willard. Fred Willard can crank it there. Who am I to say that's not the place for me to crank it?
Crank it up.
Yeah. I think those are the four things.
Okay.
Just like take him to experience, you know, like these, you know, it's just about the, you know, now when you go on to Pornhub, it's just about the, you know, the F and the S. But, you know, these movies have stories.
There was a guy on
my... You care about why they're effing and essing.
There was a guy on my hall my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just... I had not thought about this in a long time.
Sure.
He was kind of a... You know, he was kind of a little socially awkward, a little bit of a...
Sure.
And, I mean, not that we all aren't at the age of 19.
Sure, yeah.
Notably so. And, I remember one day we were talking about something, And he volunteered that he had lost his virginity to a Tijuana prostitute.
Oh, my.
That his father had taken him to.
Oof, boy.
That's some dark shit.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
But anyway, I'll think about the tiki room thing for my kids.
Sure.
But I'll wait till they're 8 or 9.
8 or 9, yeah. I mean, they're not old enough yet. They'll probably get antsy.
Yeah.
You'll have to take them out in the lobby.
Right.
But yeah, I think you have a great window into revisiting this stuff that you think is boring.
Do you think that now that I'm old, my taste will change enough that I could just sit there and read a boring book and get a lot out of it because it's so good?
I don't know. I wonder too about like revisiting, you know, big important white guy novels, which I do not love. I don't know. I would guess no.
I bet our audience has some perspective on this.
Sure.
I think they'll share it on the Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
That'll inspire me.
Yeah. What would you like to, if you could pick one of these things that are, you know, that you find amiable but not fun to ingest, what would it be? Would it be Shakespeare? Would you say, like, I'm going this?
There's a few options.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of my mom's best friends and her husband, who I like very much, are obsessed with the opera. And they are just absolute sophisticates, like full-on sophisticates. She's a painter and she used to be a weaver. And they get so much out of being obsessed with the opera.
Yeah.
And the opera is so grand and amazing. But I just find it very boring.
Sure.
When I've been many times as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And ridiculous.
Sure.
And dumb. And lame.
Yeah.
But what if I've turned... What if age and some combination of age and my natural latent homosexuality...
Sure.
...have combined... to make me opera friendly.
So you think you're receptive to that, but you're not experiencing it. Yeah. I guess there's only one way to find out. Go to the opera, see if you hate it.
Costs like $400.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. Yeah, I wish it is funny that just revisiting these things. Well, maybe start with boring white guy novel.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe go to the library, get a used one on Amazon.
Yeah, remember our friend Brian back in Business Lane would swear up and down how funny Moby Dick is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with all that.
And he was very sincere about it.
Sure.
I genuinely believe that he found it moving and funny.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, I mean, I don't know. I don't doubt his sincerity either. But I think most of the time when somebody will give you that song and dance, it's a pose, you know?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, it is and it always comes with a, they don't make them like this anymore, have fun with your superhero movies kind of attitude. And I think that's why maybe I don't go into that zone a lot, because, you know.
I'm snobby about superhero movies.
Sure.
I do love submarine movies, though.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's time. Yeah, maybe start with the European white guy novel. See how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you know, a runaway success, if you love Bartleby the Scrivener.
Is that your recommendation? Would you go with Bartleby the Scrivener?
I don't know. I've been racking my brain for an example.
Nicholas Nickleby?
There you go. That's a good one.
Nicholas Nickleby?
Yeah, yeah. David Copperfield. If you like that, then maybe try Shakespeare in the Park.
And if I don't, it's back to just watching All Creatures Great and Small.
There you go.
Middlebrow forever.
Yeah. We'll see Spotlight.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jessica. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. Hello, and welcome to Podphone. What type of podcast are you looking for?
You have chosen... funny podcasts about bad movies.
Rated R. May we recommend The Flophouse.
Three friends talk about bad movies and make each other and you laugh.
Rated R. The Flophouse is playing at your ears.
If you download it right now or whenever.
rated R. To purchase tickets to The Flophouse, you don't need to do that. Just download it. The Flophouse, rated R. For nudity, I guess.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Probably Bartleby the Scrivener is where I'll start.
Give it a shot. It's probably available at your local library. Probably get a 99-cent copy sent to you on Amazon.
Moby Dick.
Give it a shot.
Edith Wharton.
Hmm.
Yeah, try some Edith Wharton.
I mean, that's sure. Great.
Hemingway?
Oh, I bet that
Hemingway's pretty easy.
Yeah, Hemingway is easy. That's
got those punchy, short punchy sentences.
I think that's the median between, you
Steinbeck.
Know. Steinbeck.
Yeah,
Steinbeck's super readable.
Fun to read, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And then maybe ease into your, you know, 19th century what have yous.
My super novels?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something that happened to me the other day that's – I know that your signature segment is stuck in my craw.
Sure.
Mine's
you've got something in the craw, it seems. I can lend it to you for today.
No. It's not necessary.
Okay.
Something's gotten my goat.
Oh, okay. Who's got your goat? Who or what has that goat of yours, Jesse?
So I'm not – I don't have my own podcast
mm-hmm.
with my friend Jordan
sure.
so that I can brag.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes up, I'm willing to do what's required.
Sure.
Okay. My son is a karate master.
Mm. So, wow.
He's got 3 stripes on his belt.
Okay.
They're pieces of tape that they put there every couple weeks.
Right. To make him feel like he's progressing.
Exactly. He's barely progressing.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing that goes on in my son's karate class is they play this game called the Tail of the Dragon or Catch the Tail on the Dragon or something.
Sure, it's where they do opium.
Yeah.
You lay the kids down on a velvet cushion,
yep.
Let them do opium, and
then they charge tourists to watch.
Sure.
It's like flag football with a karate outfit on.
Okay.
Or like tag, but with football flags.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Like they have those, you know the flags for flag football, right?
Yeah.
They tuck those into the belt of mm-hmm. the karate outfit. And then you have to run around and try and catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of wrestle a little bit. My son forgets to run away every time.
Okay. So he just sits there and gets his flag
And then they just take
snagged.
It from him and he gets confused as to why he's out.
Gotcha.
So that's where my son's at.
Okay.
This karate, it's not so long that I can drop him off, leave, and come back.
Mm-hmm. So you gotta watch the whole karate.
No, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a
go
shopping
next door center. To the tiki room.
Yeah, crank one out.
Crank one out.
It's in a little strip mall,
mm-hmm.
as is everything here in
sure.
Los Angeles. And normally, what I'll do is I'll sit on a little cafe table and you know
mm-hmm.
Read Bartleby the Scrivener.
Sure. Your tattered copy of David Copperfield.
I have so much dialoguing. I love
right.
to dialogue with the text, you know. I'll highlight something and then I'll write a note in the margin.
Sure. Modus operandi?
Question mark.
Sure.
Deus ex machina,
mm-hmm.
exclamation mark. Narrator dash, trustworthy question?
What is a man?
Yeah. Man v. machine.
Sure.
Man v. nature. Like to identify themes.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you don't, who will?
But there's a couple of other businesses in this mm-hmm. strip mall. And so, you know, I want to sample these businesses. So I went to
sure.
the cafe. Actually,
mm-hmm.
the cafe was pretty good. But next door, there's
so that's a coffee, tea, scones.
Yeah. Oh, and bowls.
Mm.
All restaurants in Los Angeles are actually, I don't know if you heard about
sure.
this, but when Mayor Garcetti was elected, mm-hmm. His whole first 100 days thing was require all restaurants to serve bowls.
Sure, yeah.
All food in Los Angeles restaurants now comes in a bowl of various things. One of the things has to be kale also.
Sure.
So.
Or an ancient grain.
Yeah, exactly. So next door to the karate place is something called Relaxation Station.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Relaxation Station?
I have not. Is this a chain?
It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a chain or, again, like all businesses in Los Angeles, an aspiring chain. Mm-hmm. So it has chain-ish qualities, but none of the refinement that you look for from a chain.
Uh-huh.
And I believed this to be, and this was based on the following evidence. One time when I was picking some stuff up at the dry cleaner, I got a business card from the business card pegboard that said free 30-minute session.
Okay.
At the relaxation station.
Sure. No specifics in here.
I assumed,
this is all very vague.
I assumed it was a massage place.
Okay.
And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how you do. Do you like a massage?
I do, yeah.
Some people don't like massage.
Yeah. I maybe get two a year.
I love a massage, and it helps with my migraines too. So I try and get them when I can. And I thought, well, shoot. You know, maybe my new thing is I get a 30-minute massage while Simon's in karate class once a week.
Hey.
And it's just a little indulgence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm the princess.
Sure.
For once.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not like my bitch wife.
I know.
The actual princess.
Oof. You have a time to do you.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking this is great. So I go into this place, and it's, you know, it's just a generic strip mall room. And there's a woman standing at the counter who's, I'm going to say, 30-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Not cool, though.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Just like wearing heavy boots.
Okay.
And she is an incredible combination of pleasant and completely undedicated to her work.
Sure.
Like, not like she's, like, actively not doing her work. But it sort of reminds me of, like, when I used to do casual work for the city of San Francisco, mm-hmm. like counting votes and stuff when I was just out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just work that, like, significant number of people there were just like, yeah, I mean, I'm not really going to work hard or anything. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm, like, a nice enough guy.
Right. I'm not going to come high.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to, like, be a jerk to people. But I'm also making it clear that I would rather not be doing this.
Yeah.
I will leave this job as soon as another one comes up.
So they have a price list. Mm-hmm. So I pay for a 30-minute thing.
Okay.
Not knowing.
You don't even know what the thing is at this point.
No.
When you don't have the card for the free thing anymore.
Well, I went in. No, I have lost the card.
Okay.
But it's done its work.
Mm-hmm.
It's done its marketing work.
Sure.
It's convinced me that this 30-minute session of unidentified
something.
Quality.
And this may be a fight club for all you know.
It's look, this could be a fight club. I could be signing up for white slavery.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of shit that could be going
and
down.
And what does the lobby of this place look like?
It looks like imagine a space in a strip mall
mm-hmm.
that could be a Kinder gym.
Sure.
It could be
smoothie place.
A smoothie place. It could be whatever. It's got beige industrial carpets,
mm-hmm.
an open window, and it does have like those kind of like cubicle dividers up
sure.
to make what I presume to be massage areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I guess it's, I'm like, I come in and she's like, what do you want or
mm-hmm.
whatever? And I said, I don't know, what should I do?
Sure.
I got about an hour, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I said, oh, do you have a room for a half hour session?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah. Like as though, of course.
Sure.
No one comes in here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I said, she said, which one do you want? And I look, and there's a list of just phrases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like good and chill or like.
Sure. All or nothing.
Yeah.
Out the door.
I'm like, I don't know. What do you suggest? And they say, well, they tell you to do, we're going to call it good and chill.
Okay.
Yeah. They like to suggest good and chill.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, my first concern here, my first red light here going off.
You don't want to drive home.
She's not
to
willing
chill.
To speak in the first person
I recommend
about which thing.
They say you should.
Yeah. She's like, look, I don't have any association with this place
sure.
other than my current presence here.
Right.
Like, it just so happens that I'm here and no one who is actually cares about this place is around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll refer to what I know about what they think.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I did this. This is what I got. So
what are you dropping on a good and chill? $40? $50?
Well, there was an introductory offer.
Okay.
That I noticed in the window.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was like $20.
Okay. It's pretty good.
For $20 for half hours.
I'll give somebody $20 for a mystery thing.
$20 for a half hour is not an unreasonable introductory price for a massage place.
Sure.
Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's on the low end.
Yeah.
That's on the low end, but it's not crazy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't suggest to me that this isn't going to be a massage.
Right.
Okay? So I just figured it was just going to be like an airport massage, basically.
Yeah, you put your face in a little donut.
Yeah,
exactly. Get a little back chop.
Does this lady look like a masseuse or masseur?
Mm-hmm.
No, she doesn't have the passion,
sure,
for body work.
Right.
But I think maybe my presumption is some sort of recent immigrant in a back room who's going to come out.
Gotcha.
You know
she's
I mean?
Just there to, you
somebody
know.
Whose passport is being held by someone else.
Right. She's there to run the cards while this, you know, indentured servant does the work.
Exactly.
Sure.
And you know what? I'll take it. Normally,
yeah, I
mean,
but usually when you go into a massage place, the person manning the counter isn't the one that does the rubbing. So.
Right. Usually I'm the one that's doing the rubbing.
Sure, yeah.
I got to do something about that boner, Jordan.
I mean, it's not going to rub itself.
She shows me into this room, and again, it's just cubicle height walls.
Mm-hmm.
And she just says, here's your headphones. There's the bed. They say it's better if you take off your clothes.
Okay. They say.
Yeah. She's still not taking responsibility.
She has not done this.
For any
part of this.
She
doesn't know what's going on. Yeah.
She cannot personally recommend anything.
Right. Maybe she's just watching the front while her, like, friend picks someone up from the airport.
Literally, I worked at Borders Books and Music in Washington, D.C. The only training that we received was that we have to personally recommend things that we've actually experienced.
Right.
You have to tell somebody about a book that you've actually read and why you like it and why they should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the bed looks like a tanning bed but with no top part.
Okay.
And inside is a sheet just sort of casually draped over it.
Yeah.
And so
that you could put over your wang.
First of all, I'm uncomfortable taking off my clothes because it's only cubicle height walls.
When you're worried about the paparazzi.
Maybe 5-foot walls.
Sure.
Like I can see over the tops of the walls. Like the walls would block my nipples.
Right.
So anybody looking straight wouldn't be able to see any intimate things.
Sure. But they would, you know.
So I take off some of my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she says to definitely take off my shoes.
Okay.
So I take off my shoes and my coat, but I leave on my pants and my shirt.
Sure, and your Carmen Miranda fruit hat.
Well, I put that sort of on top of my face.
Right.
Like I'm a 1930s caricature of a Mexican person taking a siesta.
Sure.
So I get in this thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you know those kind of like inflatable bed things that are in a pool?
Yeah, sure.
That's what it is.
Okay.
In a half clamshell.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on the headphones. She says
Slayer.
Put on the headphones. The headphones, by the way, are like, they're those kind of ones that look like they should be in a stock photo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
sure.
They're like electric blue and sort of big. The kind that go over your head and
right.
are big. They look like somebody should be like holding them, using one hand to hold them to his head and putting the other hand on a record as though he knows how to scratch a record.
Sure.
But clearly he doesn't know how to scratch
right.
a
Right. He's
record.
Just there to pose. He's just posing for the stock photo.
Yeah.
He's just there to get the $50 that you get for being a stock photo model.
And these are the ones that you buy at Best Buy for $20.
Gotcha.
These are not good ones. These mm-hmm. are ones that are made to sort of look like good ones.
Okay.
And on top of them, they have some kind of sanitary headphone cover.
Okay.
That's like a hairnet.
Okay. I guess
or a pantyhose.
You know,
like
guess.
A hairnet made of pantyhose that goes over the business ends of the two.
So people, you don't get the ear gunk of the last person that came to the relaxation station.
It's a big problem at relaxation stations.
Sure.
I lie down, and it's like, when I say that it's like that inflatable bed that's in a pool, mm-hmm. it's also sort of moving around like that.
Okay.
Because I'm in water, but I'm on top of a sheet on top of a inflatable bed.
So you, on that is in a little pool of water.
Yeah, inside of the clamshell of this tanning bed.
And you are, what are you listening to on the headphones?
Nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then I say, like, I'm ready to go.
Who do you say this to?
The woman.
Okay.
Over the transom, you
sure.
know? A transom isn't even necessary. Just over the edge of the
right.
top of the... She comes in, presses a button, and basically... Like, imagine if you were in on one of those bed things in a pool,
mm-hmm.
but someone was underneath you going,
like, I can't imagine. So
somebody's
like
underwater blowing water at your butt.
So it's like
you can kind of feel
you
it.
You are in a jacuzzi with a very light jet on.
Yeah, it's like a jacuzzi jet. It's a lot like
okay.
a jacuzzi jet that's turning on and off in different places.
Sure.
But also you're on top of one of those inflatable.
Okay.
So you don't feel it very
strongly.
But you
can feel some slight vibrations.
Right. It's going
yes.
Right?
Mm.
And then this guided meditation starts on my headphones.
Right.
The guided meditation, and I did not write down any of the jokes in the guided meditation, but traditionally guided meditations don't have jokes in them.
But this had a little warm-up.
No, it had jokes laced throughout.
Like knock-knock jokes?
No, like half-ass gags.
Like, somebody...
Not even like the kind that would come on a popsicle stick. I would have appreciated that.
Right.
No, like,
just, did you hear the
like,
one about the alligator who's...
Like, lie down and try to relax. Not that you know how to do that. Or, you know, something like that, you know?
Okay.
Like, you're probably feeling the jets. Don't worry, it's not jet engines. You know, just...
Right.
And the person
like
narrating
a joke,
it...
Like a joke that a tour guide at a zoo would say.
The person narrating this clearly... This is the scenario that I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
They had this idea for a place, okay? They started it, but they did not have any experience in guiding meditations.
Right.
But they did not let that stop them
sure.
from recording, writing and recording multiple themed
right.
guided meditations. I would say that they were using, as an audio professional, they recorded this on a $20 microphone.
Okay.
It was fully sound designed.
That's good. So there was like whale noises or jungle noises or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was profoundly awkwardly read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was as though someone had bought a franchise mm-hmm. and instead of that coming with like signs and,
ingredients,
training manuals,
right.
and a brand of headphones that you're supposed to buy and a tape of each of the meditations,
sure.
it was as though it came with all of the first few things that I listed and a script for the meditations
right.
that you were supposed to record as the franchisee.
And maybe punch up if you wanted to.
Yeah, just add a few soft gags.
So it would be like, you know, so it would be like, woo-woo-woo-woo. Woo-woo-woo-woo. This is a jungle animal of
right.
some kind. Some sort of...
Wah-wah-wah.
This is how I'm imagining
it.
Are
you sure this isn't just some Cherry Pop and Daddy's lyrics?
Right, yeah. This is after their... Right, after they did bath salts.
Yeah.
So you got this... You get these soft jungle noises.
Right.
And then like a man says into, you know, just the mic on his iMac, he says, you know, like... Hey, just breathe deep and relax. It's never Monday in here.
Yes!
Too bad it sometimes is out there. It was just
yes!
stuff like that?
Yes!
Wow. Huh.
It was just that for 20 minutes!
$20 well spent, though, right?
Yeah, well.
How did you feel after you put on your clothes? You know, you went out into the strip mall to pick up the kid. How did you go about the rest of your day? Were you transformed? Were you a new man?
Yeah, it was sexually charged.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it seems like it was a pretty sexual atmosphere.
It was erotic to the extreme.
Sure, you were.
I don't know if you've ever laid down on one of those pool beds, but that's pretty erotic to begin with.
Well, I mean,
but if you imagine somebody shooting water at your butt from underneath the pool bed,
right? While someone makes jokes at you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of that sounds great, but I do like the idea of being nude near a minimum wage employee.
I'm going to say there were four jokes
through
the course of the
That's still too
many.
I guess a joke isn't that bad, but the fact that it was
if there
it
was
kept
just
coming up.
One friendly joke at the very beginning.
All right, let's
or
get started.
If there were jokes throughout and it was supposed to be funny.
Sure.
Both of those would make sense.
But yeah, the
but when you're
smattering of jokes.
17 minutes into a guided meditation, what you're not looking for is gags. Like people,
takes
you're
you
not just like, I don't understand. Like just somebody just looked at the script and said, get Bruce.
Yeah. Get him in here. Yeah, no gags. That's why I watched Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Now listen to, it's, yeah, it seems like there are so many guided meditations available these days. You can just get one from SoundCloud.
I'm sure there's a subreddit.
Sure.
Look, there's a subreddit for sex guided meditations.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Found that the other day.
That guides you.
I was Googling not sex guided meditation.
Sure. Like, oh, this is not what I wanted. Wait, so this is like something you put on while you're lovemaking that's supposed to.
No, it's something that you put on. It's amazing.
Okay.
First of all, it's amazing. It's pretty lively.
Right.
Like, this subreddit is pretty
active.
There's
a lot of action. Yeah.
No, it's like there's two kinds of things. One is just fucking sounds.
Okay.
Just people either recording themselves masturbating or...
The sound of it.
Yeah. It's called Gone Wild Audio. It's part of the Gone Wild family of subreddits. So it's partly like people just recording audio of themselves going, oh, you know?
Sure. Boop-a-boop-boo.
One thing is...
Boop, boop,
that's someone fucking a jungle animal?
Oh, yeah.
The other categories are, I listened to a few different things
because
I was so delighted to have found this.
How many Gone Wilds are there?
Oh, there's tons of Gone Wilds.
Huh.
It's not just Gone Wild Curvy, if that's what you think.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the only Gone Wild.
So, there's that.
I mean, why go back and have hamburger when I know that there's steak?
There's people, well, you know about there's a category of pornography called JOI for jack-off instructions, right?
I did
it's
not.
It's like where a naked lady looks in the camera and goes like, all right, now put your finger in your butt or whatever.
Sure. You know, I assumed that as both a single guy and someone who
professionally trawls Reddit.
Yeah, right, exactly. Who professionally is looking at the internet. I would have heard of all the porns.
Okay.
These are some.
Number one, JOI is a type of porn.
Okay.
Number two.
Jack off instructions.
It's all right. It's not really my jam.
Sure.
Number two, in this thing, so they have just recording sex sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have scenarios.
You know what they should call JOI?
What's that?
Mr. Jizzard.
Yeah, sure. The second one is scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I'm your babysitter. Oh, you're dropping me off for work for after work, or like I'm your sister. You shouldn't, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And they tend to get real weird real fast in any category of pornography that's not filmed because they can legally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third category is self-hypnosis that's supposed to get you to have an orgasm without touching your penis.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Who leads you through these?
A woman with a Scottish accent.
Huh.
The one that I heard.
That is a pretty erotic accent.
It was relatively erotic.
Is it like about...
I listened to a few minutes of it. It wasn't bad.
Is it about flexing your... Is it about doing like Kegels or like, you know...
No, you're going down some
clenching?
Erotic stairs. And they're counting 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Huh. And it's supposed to get you to jizz.
That's my understanding.
Interesting. Do you know about any other Gone Wilds? I'm amazed that these exist.
No, that's the most, by far the most. Well, oh, well, have you seen the Gone Wild where, well, there's regular Gone Wild, for anyone who doesn't know a lot about the pornography on the internet, is where people post pictures of themselves naked on Reddit.
Right.
And there's a gay one for dudes. Mm-hmm. Women don't really care to look at dudes. I mean, there are some women that like to look at dudes, but mostly your regular one is almost all ladies. Mm-hmm. And then there's a gay one for dudes. Mm-hmm. Then there's Gone Wild Kirby for Jordan.
Sure, yeah.
Then there's
subreddit for one.
There's Gone Wild Stories, where people just write a sex thing that happened to them.
Okay, this is where the Penthouse Forum has moved.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Penthouse is getting out of the publication business. It's going to be all online.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. Our last.
What am I going to get at the corner newsagent?
I don't know.
I guess Jugs.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to go and get into Jugs or Perfect 10.
Yeah. Gone Wild Stories. I've looked at that one. Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you go, this is my recommendation to you, Jordan.
Please.
If you really want to get a kick out of the beautiful rainbow of human sexuality and also some of its grotesque darknesses.
Sure.
There's a random button on the top of Reddit that takes you to a random subreddit.
Uh-huh.
But if you start at an adult or not safe for work Reddit, there's also one for not safe for work Reddits.
Mm.
And so you can click through and you just be in awe of just the different things that are a specific interest group for a specific group of people.
Okay. It sounds like a hoot.
I'm trying to think of what. Sometimes when I'm bored, I'll just click on it for 10 minutes and just see the different things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've talked in here about my love of the random scrolling porn search terms.
Sure. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, snake crawls into pussy.
It is exactly. I mean, like, you know, like.
Tennis Japan.
You know, 2/3 of them are just like MILF.
Sure.
Or whatever. You know, just something that's.
Right. Something pretty.
It's relatively.
Vanilla adjacent.
Relatively specific, but. You know, broadly understood.
Right.
But then you find, like, bimbo, which is, like, people who are into, like, almost unhuman caricatures of, like, the kind of dumb blonde porn star thing.
Sure, yeah, like a Valley Girl in an 80s movie.
That was bimbo. There's ones for, like, disinterested. I don't remember what that one was called. It's like, the woman is disinterested.
Sure, it was relaxation station employee.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. It's amazing and amusing. But I just don't want anyone to go into this, like, once in a while, because it's not safe for work things, once in a while you accidentally end up in, like, a Nazi one.
Oh,
but, like,
okay.
Once every 30 times you will end up in a Nazi one.
It's mostly fun.
Or something that is genuinely distressing.
Okay.
Sexual but distressing.
Sure.
Because it's a big world out there.
Sure.
But mostly so, it's...
Some people have access to morgues.
Mostly it's sexual and amusing.
Okay.
Almost all.
Mm-hmm. But just be prepared for 1 in 30 to be, like, to, you know, for you to be looking into... The dark recesses of,
You can just press it again.
Whatever.
You're just like, oh, no, that's
yeah,
weird.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Hey, it's fun. Are we going to skip momentous occasions, I guess?
I mean, that seems like it was a pretty momentous occasion.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Well... I hope you've enjoyed spending this time with us.
Yeah. Thanks America. For being here, audience.
I really got some shit off my chest this week.
We appreciate you.
This is what happens when a guest forgets that they're supposed to be on the show.
Yeah.
Just Jesse really gets some shit off his chest.
Yeah, well, go. It's cathartic. I hope it was more useful to you than your trip to the relaxation station.
Yeah, they were both pretty great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both worth the $20. By the way, I'll give you the $20 when we're done with it.
No problem. Have you thought about, instead of the chairs we have in here,
which
are, you know, pretty comfortable chairs.
Yeah.
Nothing special, but they're nice. They're
like a modern school chair.
Sure. Maybe getting some clamshells with floating mattresses and air jets.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can do your shows, but all the other shows that record in here can... You know, reap the benefits of a relaxation station recording experience. And if they are trying to franchise, maybe the times when people aren't recording, you can just have Relaxation Station customers come up here and they can you know, enjoy the station.
Yes, it's like a side business. Do you think I'd have to buy the franchise?
I don't know.
I could just, instead of, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to buy the franchise so I get the scripts for the guided meditations,
mm-hmm.
I just use the stuff from the Gone Wild audio subreddit.
Pipe that in here.
Yeah.
Pipe a Scottish woman telling you about how to squeeze your vas deferens while you walk downstairs.
When I was I skipped to the middle of it.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm like, what happens in like the middle? Because in the beginning, she's just telling you that this is
sure.
going to happen.
It's like podcasts where they talk about what they're going to talk about. We know, just start talking about it.
Yeah. In the middle, there was a part, and it was, you were imagining a staircase, and you were walking down it one step at a time, and each step was getting you closer to
Jizztown.
Yeah, I guess Jizztown.
Hmm.
I think she was Scottish, so I think she said Jizzville.
Mm, okay, yeah, sure. It's a regional thing, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. We'd have to ask.
Anyway, just a thought.
5,000 miles, guys, to get the...
yeah, just a thought. Maybe get these chairs out of here, get some relaxed the back pods, and just kind of see how it affects the recording process. I'm guessing for the better.
Yeah.
But maybe things will be too chill.
MaxFunStore.com is mm-hmm. where you can buy those get them t-shirts.
Right.
By the way, we're only like a... Oh, how about this, Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
Last year in the MaxFun Drive,
yep.
we promised to record an episode of the show on a boat that we had bought on Craigslist in MacArthur Park Lake. Hashtag JJGoGrossLake.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened.
It's up. People can listen to it.
If you're a MaxFun donor, it's in the donors feed. If you're a donor at $5 a month or more, if you're not, you can become a donor. MaximumFun.org/donate. No matter who you are, you can go to our YouTube channel. Just search for Maximum Fun on YouTube or JJ Go Gross Lake, and you can see the video.
It's a lot of fun.
A little 5-minute video of us. You know, a few highlights and lowlights, I like to call them.
Sure, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, lowlights is like it's like a play on highlights. So like highlights is like the best things, and then lowlights.
Oh boy,
it's like a fun.
These are the things that were not so good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. It's like if you imagine. I don't know if this has ever happened, but if you imagine like two baseball players are both trying to catch the same ball, but then they run right into each other.
That sounds like a hilarious blooper.
Ball falls between, it's called a low light.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I would call it a low light. Like, you might call it a blooper.
Yeah, it's happened. This is what happens right before Letterman comes on?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And Brian actually, I was talking to Brian about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. He calls it a practical joke.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of different names for it.
So there's all kinds of different names.
Maybe
Brian,
a regional thing.
Sonny D. Fernandez is on the boards for this week's program, Laughing Outside the Booth. You can join us on Twitter, at Jordan_Morris,
mm-hmm.
at Jesse Thorne, on Facebook, the Maximum Fun Group, MaximumFun.reddit.com, and, of course, reddit.com/r/gonewildaudio
sure.
for all your hands-free orgasm needs.
Oh, hey, I got, in addition to our shirts, after you've bought the shirt, I have another thing that people could buy. If they want to buy
that?
Another thing.
What's that, Jordan?
That is related to me slightly.
Yes?
I did a little bit of writing for the Riff Tracks guys recently.
Oh, this is something people should definitely buy.
Yeah, these are the guys, a couple of the dudes from Mystery Science Theater 3000. They have a funny website called Riff Tracks where you can buy funny commentaries for movies you can watch on DVD, or some nice riffed shorts. Some
Mike
kind of
Nelson, Bill Corbett, Kevin Murphy. These are among the best guys in show business.
The best of the guys. Anyways, they let me write some jokes for them. Kindly, they fucking made my goddamn life and let me write some jokes for them.
Man.
And yeah, the first short that I got to do some writing on came out. It's called Shapes We Live With. So I think if you went to rifftracks.com. You can look for Shapes We Live With. It's 99 cents. It's around 15 minutes of funny, goof. Grab it and get at me on Twitter. See if you can pick out a joke that I wrote.
Yeah, that's fun.
Seems like a fun scavenger hunt.
That seems like a fun thread on the Reddit.
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
You know what? I'm going to have Rach Tacular start that thread.
It sounds like you should get her on that.
Rach Tacular?
It'll get done.
Start the thread. Which of these jokes is one that Jordan wrote?
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
You're going to have
to buy
this.
I'll get on there.
This is going to cost you 99 cents, Rachel, but it's worth it.
Yeah. This is 99 cents well spent. I think I can't imagine. I spent 99 cents on this myself and had a blast. I think that's 99 cents well spent. And yeah, I'll get on there on Reddit and I'll tell
when
you.
When you talk
right
about three of the nicest, funniest guys in Hollywood, and then you throw on top of that a fourth nicest, funniest guy in Hollywood, Jordan Morris, you really can't beat that.
It's a lot of fun. So.
And there's a bunch of new shit in the Max Fun store this week. Coming into the store this week.
Boom.
Use the code FULLCHORT. I mean, not the Max Fun store, the Put This On Shop. Put This On Shop and use the code FULLCHORT. You'll get free shipping.
Boom.
Lots of beautiful things in there. Pocket squares.
Boom.
Baseball caps. Vintage collectibles, etc. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jessica.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.